Welcome to the weekly edition of Beyond the Title, where we get to know the person behind the strategy, the story, and yes, the brand. Joining us every week are senior professionals across the globe. So amazing that we just have to know who they are.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone watching Beyond the Title and tuning in. Thank you so much. Today, we've got the lovely RJ, where we take Beyond the Title to a whole different level. We get to know the speaker behind, or the person behind the speaker. RJ, welcome to Beyond the Title.
Thanks so much to everybody watching from near and far. I really appreciate the sort of a global cooperation and collaboration we're doing right now as a result of this crisis. So we can see that even during times of crisis, it might be the best time to create a collaboration. Who knows, we become out stronger and more resilient and with more international networks as a result of this crisis. And I do apologize ahead of time for those watching right now. I have not been to a barbershop in the past 2 months, and I'm afraid of having my wife cut my hair. So it's a bit long and unwieldy, just like my speech later on. And this interview might be long and unwieldy, but again, I appreciate your presence. And if you're watching us here right now, if you want to follow me online, I'm on Instagram and also on Facebook. That's RJ Ledesma. And I have a website, www.rjledesma.com.
Oh, brilliant. By the way, I have to ask you, did you tell your wife you can't trust her with your hair?
In no uncertain terms, yes, I did. I told her, please don't cut my hair, please. No. I she can do her own hair. I'm just worried about this one. But very glad. It's been a nice bonding experience over the past 2 months. You know, how often do you get to spend 2 months straight with your kids at home? So I enjoyed this experience.
Oh, that is brilliant. That is brilliant. I had to get my hair cut. I went caveman style after the first 3 weeks and went, I need a haircut. Otherwise, I'm just going to go, you know. RJ, quick question for you. What is your ikigai? And for those who are watching and don't know what ikigai means, it is the reason you jump out of bed. It's a Japanese term and a motto for why you jump out of bed early in the morning.
I guess, you know, I often tell people I wear many hats and I wish I had just as many heads. I'm actually, in the Philippines, I'm actually a serial entrepreneur. I run 3 different businesses. And by way of explaining this one, I'll get to my ikigai. I put up the largest food market here in the Philippines. So if you've been to Taiwan or Singapore or Thailand, if you've been to those night food markets, that's what I run here in the Philippines. It's called Mercato. Right. And I also run a business called Enter PH. That's a consultancy firm that helps foreign businesses offshore or outsource to the Philippines. So call centers, BPOs, companies which need to outsource non-essential services, we run them out of the Philippines. And lastly, I also have a company called Easy Franchise. It's a digital platform that connects franchise owners. Let's say you own a pharmaceutical, you own a small restaurant and you want to franchise it. I connect franchise owners with franchise investors. There are many what? Filipinos and overseas Filipinos who want to invest in businesses in the Philippines and have it professionally run. And that's what I do. So I've realized that as I do these businesses, I'm addicted to being a serial entrepreneur, to putting up new businesses. But what's my ikigai is really, I'm inspired to solve problems and to help people. I think that that's really the thing that I've realized about my ikigai in everything that I do. It's really to see what are the, like they say in Chinese, there's a character called Wei Qi, which is Wei Qi, which means that in every crisis, there is an opportunity. And so as a businessman and as a person, I'm always looking for that opportunity to say, you know, how can I help people? What can I do to solve a problem? And how can I help people at the same time? Because, you know, Steve, when this crisis occurred in the Philippines, and they locked down everything, I felt very helpless at the start, just like anybody who's stuck in a crisis. True. And everything got locked down. But I realized that if I felt helpless, that there were people who felt even more helpless than me, who didn't have a recurring source of income, employees who didn't have a recurring source of income or couldn't afford to buy food the next day. And I said that my job is because I want to solve problems and I want to be able to help others. I used my skill of entrepreneurship mentorship to come online, and I've been, ever since the start of our lockdown here in the Philippines, I've been going live for several forums, moderating, helping people, as well. So I realized that was my ikigai. It got me up in the morning where I'm able to help a lot of people by what I do, helping them solve their own problems, but at the same time, helping me get a better perspective of the larger situation and to learn about more problems that I can solve. So during this period of time, during this crisis, what's been great is that I've been actually able to find new business models, new things to pivot into, new things to do at this time, and to solve more problems. So which is great, you know, entrepreneurs, we don't look at problems as bad things. We look at problems as opportunities, business opportunities, things that you can do. Because like Steve, I'm sure you've been to many startup competitions and pitching competitions. What's the first question the venture capitalist will ask you? What problem are you trying to solve?
Yeah.
Yeah. And with this pandemic, there are so many problems that you can solve. So that's one way of looking at it. And that's been my ikigai this time. It's been very difficult. It's been very difficult. But at the same time, as an entrepreneur, you build your grit, you build your resilience, and you go, okay, what problem am I trying to solve? And how many more people can I help during this time?
RJ, I love that you just said that. And again, you know, the whole point of Reshape, where you're speaking at the event as well, and all these global leaders coming out to speak at the event, is about supporting, you know, the global community, because we are just global citizens. Again, that starts with being local and then expanding that influence and that care. And by the way, congratulations on your winning of the 2019 SME Innovations Award, Excellence in Innovation Award in the Philippines. I guess this ikigai of yours does dictate a lot of why you do what you do. So which movie character best represents you and why?
Could you repeat the question, please? You were a bit choppy over there.
My fault. So which movie character represents you and why?
Okay. You know, I'm actually a very big comic book fan. I've been a big comic book collector. And here in
DC
the Philippines,
or Marvel?
I'm a big DC guy. I'm a big DC
nice.
Guy.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. The thing about this one is that, you know, Dash from the Philippines, who's watching here right now, knows that aside from being an entrepreneur, I'm actually a TV personality here. I'm a media personality. I work for Bloomberg nice. Here in the Philippines and CNN here in the Philippines. And I host a lot. And I host a lot for the comic book conventions that are being done over here. So, and I'm very well versed with the local comic book community. And having said all that, the reason I'm saying this one is because I'm a big, big fan of Batman. And really the reason is, I mean, people like Batman, for many different reasons. What I like about him is sort of like his ability to multitask across different things. He is the world's greatest detective. He is one of the world's greatest martial artists. He is saving the world at the same time. So for me, it's sort of like, this is not that I'm a Batman, nor am I a specimen of physical perfection, nor am I a smart. But the idea is that here's this guy utilizing all these different skill sets, trying to save the world. And that's why, you know, and he's a human being. It's trying his best, trying to become more efficient, trying to hack what it means to be a human being and become better. And so that's what I like about the character. I mean, the only thing that I don't share with him is that my parents are still alive and I don't dress up like a flying bat. So, but
God bless you for that.
Yeah. that's why I enjoy Batman as one of my favorite characters. And before everything else, I just want to check, Steve, I apologize. I professionally host, so I just like to greet people listening here right now. Kirsty Liu, hi from Hong Kong. Nice to see you. I'd like to greet our friends from India, Ria, Naskar, woohoo for comic books. And of course, we have from Bangkok, Corin Chawan, listening in here as well. Thank you so much to all the people listening from near and far. Really appreciate you. And looking forward to seeing you this coming June 11 for the Reshape Talk.
And again, RJ, this is why you are a professional commentator and a host TV host. I love that you're already getting into the live YouTube bits and the comments that are coming on the side. By the way, I love Batman myself, huge Batman fan. One of the reasons why I do like him is because he is the only character who has no superpowers.
That's right.
Just a Super League, you know, but at the same time, he does match up with every single person, including Superman and the Green Lantern. Right, so what app could you not live without? Because you're wearing so many hats, I wonder, what's your that one app that you cannot live without during, you know, work from home or otherwise?
Fantastic. I mean, I think many of you will commiserate with me or know what I'm talking about, but the app that I really like is, of course, Facebook. And the reason why right now is that you have to realize that when you look at the Philippines as a market, you know, the Philippines has a population of 110 million people. Okay, out of 110, we've got one of the highest social media penetrations here in Southeast Asia. So maybe about 50 million people are online, are active social media users. But that doesn't include our large diaspora of Filipino overseas workers. We've got Filipinos almost in every part of the world. One of our biggest exports are Filipinos who live all over the world. And they are the ones who actually help support the Philippine economy. That's why we've got a good foreign reserves. That's why the peso is doing pretty well. That's why, despite this recession, which is occurring because of the pandemic, right, which is causing a bit of a recession, money still continues to come in from abroad. One of the best ways to connect with them is via Facebook. And that's why I really like it, because many of the businesses which I do right now online were built on Facebook platforms. In particular, I have one business right now I'm working on. It's called Filipino Homes, and it's probably the largest real estate brokerage company in the Philippines. They've wow. accumulated 500 of the top developers from all over the country. And during this lockdown in the Philippines, when you could not leave the house, they sold a cumulative of 2 billion worth of property sales.
Whoa.
2 billion worth of property sales during this time. And I was wondering, how were you able to do that one? Because basically, they realized that the market was not here in the Philippines to sell, but rather to the Filipinos who were remitting money back home to buy homes. And they thought that during this crisis, the best time to buy first homes, meaning they weren't buying for investment. They were buying for their relatives to live in for themselves to live in when they come back home. The only way that they could communicate with their clients was online. So, you know, it's really a powerful tool when you can use it for good. Another thing that we've been doing as well, I've been very active right now locally, and Dash from the Philippines knows this as well, for a group called Bounce Back. You can look for that online, Bounce Back Official PH, meaning Philippines. And it's been a business support group. We actually put that group online originally to help fellow entrepreneurs. You know, we didn't know what to do, how to pivot, what you have to do with your business. But that site started to evolve. It became a site where we were able to help our frontliners, our medical frontliners. They needed food, face masks, PPEs, nitrile gloves. That became sort of like a matching place, a donation matching place. It also became a place where we could send donations for at-risk communities who weren't receiving enough food subsidies. And it also became a place right now for education, for people who wanted to upskill, reskill themselves. And the best way that we could do it was here online. Actually, I've been online almost every day on Facebook, doing Facebook Live sessions for Bounce Back Philippines and for my other businesses to help people upskill, to help people realize that there are other opportunities at this time. So for me, it's become a really essential tool. And I would really love that during the reshape to get the conversation with other people to understand a better perspective of how they've been using social media, Facebook, Instagram, not only to be able to do business during this time, but to be able to help more people during these times of crisis, not just here in the Philippines, but across the globe.
I'll completely get you on that. And again, Reshape does have upskill sessions running at the event. So I hope, you know, people will take advantage of that. Now, because we're running kind of short of time, let's go straight through these, because I really want to get the real you, RJ, out in front of everybody. So what's the one advice you'd give your 21-year-old self that now you've seen so much and you've experienced so much and you've done so much?
Okay. I think one of the things that I would tell myself is that, you know, things get better. Things get better. And the thing is, what you planned for yourself at that time might not be the best plan for yourself. And I know I might be waxing a bit religious here, but you know, I think the good Lord has got better plans for you than you might have for yourself. Because at that time, I think I was 24, 25, and this is going to get into your next question about what's my biggest failure. You know, I went to one of the top universities here in the Philippines. I worked for Procter & Gamble as a brand manager in my earlier part of my career. And I really went there because I wanted to go to one of the top Ivy League schools in the States. So I applied for Kellogg, Northwestern, and Wharton, and Harvard at the time. And I thought that because, you know, I had a good college record, I had a good job, multinational company, that I'd be a shoo-in to get into a good MBA program. And, you know, for people like myself, whose business was always the main thing, right, was my main vision to become a prominent business person, that's sort of like your track. If you want to be a doctor, you have to do this one. You want to be an engineer, you have to do this one. For me, it's like an MBA in an Ivy League school in the States. But you know what? After I applied, what happened was that I thought I did good. I applied for Kellogg. I didn't get in, so I felt bad. I applied for Wharton. I didn't get in. I felt even awful. Finally, I got a letter from Harvard. And when I got a letter from Harvard, it said, you are one of the 10% we are considering for this batch, but we have to interview you in person or on the phone to see if you get in. So what happened there was that I took a leave from work. I flew to the States for a 5-minute interview to do this one.
Wow.
And then 2 weeks later, I got a letter coming back to me saying, I'm sorry, you didn't qualify for Harvard's school year this year. And I felt really bad. And for me, that was a failure. But, you know, I didn't realize at the time he was just trying to build a lot of grit and resilience for me. Then eventually, after I didn't get in there, I found out that there was a degree being offered in the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, for real estate development.
Nice.
Which was actually my family business, which I wanted to do in the first place, real estate. And I actually got into that program in MIT. And at the end of the program, I delivered the speech, the commencement speech at the end of the program. Not that I was the smartest in the class, but maybe probably just the more verbose in the class. So again, you know, things got better. But after I graduated, things got worse again. I graduated 2 weeks after 9/11. I might look young, but I'm not that young anymore. So, you know, jobs weren't available. Then the U.S. economy burst as well. So all I want to tell myself at the time, you know, things are going to get better. You can never expect, you know, God has better plans for you than what you plan for yourself. So don't worry. You might be tested here right now. The same thing for doing business here in the Philippines right now. I'm sure Dash, who's watching right now, or Kirsty, who's in Hong Kong, and in Ria, and people are friends from India. As we're under this lockdown, we're going, oh my gosh, I can't do business. What's going to happen to me right now? But what's also emerging for me right now is that, hey, there's a lot of opportunities which I did not see in the past. I could take out a lot of the things which didn't seem to make sense for the business and focus on core things. And that's what really excites me right now. You know, I read something on Facebook very recently where somebody shared that he closed down 4 restaurants in the States. And somebody asked him, why are you furiously writing something down on your planner? He was saying, you know what? It's okay to lose money. What's not okay is to lose your ideas. So you can run out of money, but what you can't run out of as an entrepreneur are your ideas. What are you going to do next? And then, you know, it goes back to the talk that I'm going to be giving. So again, I'm giving the talk June 11. It goes back to the idea again of the entrepreneurial mindset. How are you supposed to think in this crisis? What are these new problems you can solve? And how to conquer them? And how to move forward from them? Because I actually have five models of business innovation, which I want to talk about, of how you can think about in these times of crisis, which I'd love to share with all of you. So again, that's just a plug for the June 11.
Good. Save that for June 11. I do want people to tune into your session as well. Because you're speaking to so many, not just entrepreneurs, but also business leaders, what are your top predictions for the new normal and the digital world 2.0?
Okay. Particularly for what I like to see, and I'm looking at it more from a developing country perspective, is that, I'm looking from the Philippine perspective because it can sort of grow from there to the rest of Southeast Asia, is really looking at how we're going to be able to use technology further to disrupt and to improve things. There's been a joke that was going around online which said, what is causing the digital transformation of your company? Is it your chief executive officer? Is it your chief information officer? Or is it COVID-19? Obviously, it's COVID-19, right? Which is causing a lot of digital transformation. But it could be digital transformation for the good. What am I talking about in particular? This could accelerate financial inclusion applications, agritech, logistics, and bring a lot of these systems online. People have seen if they say that they're going digital, it's not the full process. Which is going digital. So there comes a part where you're out of the process again, and you go back digital. Now, the people who've been the most successful, like the company Filipino Homes that I was talking about, was able to close $2 billion worth of sales for real estate because they brought their developers online together with their brokers, and the whole process was over there. So what we're seeing right now is what I think this might do is accelerate digital transformation, especially even in developing countries. And they realize they have to develop more financial inclusion apps, more people who were not using, let's say in countries like Nigeria, almost everybody uses their cell phone to transact money. There's no cashless, there's no more cashless transactions going on. I'm seeing more financial inclusion coming up, emerging, particularly in developing countries. I'm seeing that in the Philippines, you know, everybody was doing, not only 5% of people are banked, about 95% aren't banked. So right now, with these type of things happening, more people will be brought there. Also at the same time, because many supply chains were disrupted during this time, I think that they'll have to build better agricultural supply chains. It's going to improve agriculture at the same time. It will vastly improve agriculture, I think. Well, more technology behind it, better supply chains behind it, and countries will be forced to become more reliant on themselves in terms of agriculture, not anymore relying too much on importing, because I can't rely now on, let's say, a steady supply from India or China or other countries which we're importing from now. And I also see what's going to be growing right now in terms of, because food is my main business, is that we can develop specific services which cater to the senior citizen market, who you know, largely were those who were told to stay at home because of the crisis, because they were the most at-risk communities. Yes. So how can we deliver better online experiences to the senior citizen market? And I think that's going to be a big thing as well. And in terms of health and food, developing more immune-boosting products, I think this is what's going to happen here as well. And last but not the least, I think people are going to be building a lot of improving their logistical capabilities, improvement in logistics apps, in third-party services. These things are going to be building at the same time. And I'm just getting to see a feel of these different things because of the different industries that we're doing over here.
See, I love that you already mentioned that. And yes, so touching upon a few of those things, right? Governments are going through this phase. And I'm happy that Philippines was able to do that in such a short time, where you were able to buy land and do all the processes online, which meant people who were, you know, stuck behind borders or stuck on the outside of the world were able to still go through that process. Another lovely thing you touched upon is there is definitely going to be a change in convenience for especially the at-risk community in the world. So those are your older generations. Those are the younger generations as well, who are now more comfortable shopping online, shopping for key groceries. And we also see the rise of dark stores. Again, this was a theory in 2015. Of course, a few companies did implement it, but in 2019, 2020, we are seeing a lot more resurgence of DTC and dark stores. Now, what are your hopes for the future?
Well, primarily for me, if you look at, I'll look first internally to the Philippine economy, and I think that it's really been a great reset. Why is that? Because you get to see a lot of the fundamentals that you've been missing out on in the first place. Because if you look at how we've been surviving for the past couple of years, we've had 84 straight quarters of economic growth. And this is the first time we're experiencing a recession, which was brought about by the pandemic, and which results in an economic crisis, right? But then the economy's been doing very, very well, particularly because a lot of remittances or foreign money has been coming in through our overseas Filipino workers, which means that sometimes you don't get to see some things that need to be improved. Number one is our infrastructure needs to be further improved to bring in more foreign investments. But more than that one, better transport, better movement across the country, better farm-to-market roads. I think that's one thing that we're going to be seeing happening right now. We are accelerating what the government is calling a build program. And I can see that really growing fast. The second thing right now is that I think that the agriculture sector, which is my country's sleeping giant, all of a sudden has been given a shot in the arm because of this one. Because all of a sudden they're realizing, let's not anymore rely on foreign products to fix things, to import maybe rice or other agricultural products. Let's build our own. And before people, you know, it wasn't an industry which people looked at as being sexy or something for the millennials. But right now, because of what's happening, people are taking a better look at agriculture and trying to go over there. And the next thing I really see is that you're pushing people towards digital transformation. And for me, that's a great thing, because for me, that's your great equalizer. Right now, everybody is selling things online. I call them hyper-local communities, like via Viber or even on Facebook buy and sell. But that's pushing many people who weren't online in the past there. That means you're getting more people used to that. They're getting used to that one. So that way, you know, it creates faster transactions, smoother transaction. And I think that will really help, really also quicken the pace of the economy, especially if we live in countries where there's a lot of red tape or bureaucracy. This will really help out a lot. This will help out a lot of countries who are experiencing that one.
You're so true. And we are hoping that this will give a whole new boost to the agriculture, the food tech industry as well.
Exactly.
You know, the number of people are growing out of scale of the ability to produce. So I'm hoping more countries will jump into the production cycle of it and start creating their own products, be able to support their own local, but also the international markets. So apart from the fact that you don't want your wife to touch your hair and cut your hair, what's the one weird fact about you that others have not known of yet, or we as a teacher community don't know about you yet?
Oh, well, that's interesting. So number one, I was actually a writer. I'm a book author. I have 6 best-selling books. My mom bought most of those books. I'm a 3-time National Book Awards finalist. So my book was,
congratulations.
So that's one thing. I was a columnist for the newspaper for the past 10 years, and I'm a writing fellow for the University of the Philippines. So writing is another passion I used to have before doing this one. I'm actually a professional host, like I said. So all modesty aside, I'm a 3-time best male host here in the Philippines in the largest awards giving body, and I host both for CNN and Bloomberg. But the hosting really is something I like to do, because I like to talk to people and get and then bring out their stories. And as you can see, I can keep on talking without having much prompting. and to our friends from India, I want you to know that, you know, back in 2004, I actually got certified to be a primary Ashtanga yoga teacher. It's been my dream to go to Mysore, India, to train also as well. And I was an ovo-lacto vegetarian for 10 years, which is not easy living here in a country of carnivores. But I was a yoga teacher. I'm a writer. I'm a host. So I do many things. And I'm also, well, you can see those flags in the back, right? Well, technically, that's the flag of Montenegro. My wife is the honorary consul of Montenegro to the Philippines. So that means that she represents Montenegro here in the Philippines. Myself, I am the consul of Monaco. I represent the principality of Monaco here in the Philippines. So I wear many hats here in the Philippines. I wish I had just as many heads.
And again, you know, I do love that you're wearing so many hats and you're able to juggle them well. I think it's part of your bio, right? Man of many, jack of many trades, but also master of many.
We try.
My last question for you today, I'd love to know more about, you know, what is your motto in life? What keeps you going?
What keeps me growing? Well, every day I'm going. What keeps me going? I think what I'm truly inspired by is just, you know, I am somebody who is in love with creating ideas. In my company, Mercato Central, my wife is the president. When we had a lot of creative arguments about this one, where, you know, eventually she became the president and I became the chief innovation officer. And my job is to keep on searching for new ideas. That's why I talk to people, I moderate, I listen in, I participate, because that's where the ideas are generated from. And their job is sort of like to filter all that and to try to manage my enthusiasm in doing all these different things. But every day there's something new to learn, and I sort of like to bring that to the plate. So that's what keeps me going. I'm inspired by creation, by creating things, and by helping people. And for me, that's what I like, because, you know, during this crisis, 2 to 3 to 4 new ideas came about, and what they really have to do is hold me back and say, stick to the idea that is the most, I guess, income generating or with the biggest potential. And it's difficult when you've got so many things flowing into your head at the same time, and you're seeing opportunities left and right coming at you, and your brain explodes with these ideas. So that's why I was a bit sad, because every week I used to have a weekly column. I was a humor writer, and people really liked the columns. The thing is, it was like an act of creation, creative inspiration every week to do that one. And much of my brain power was stuck with the creativity for nonfiction writing. and it didn't go into entrepreneurship enough. So sadly, I had to give up writing a few years ago. But then now, this total brain power is focused towards building business, which I also think is great for the stage in my life.
Exactly. And for the stage the whole world is in right now, you've also been able to help your local communities because of it. Thank you so much for that, RJ. I loved actually speaking with you. I do hope to get to know a little bit more about you and also listen to your journey as well as the experiences you've gained during this time that will help propel you and your communities forward at the Reshape on June 11th. If for you who are watching this video, do check out RJ Ledesma on Facebook or his YouTube. You have YouTube Live, right?
I have YouTube. That's RJ Ledesma, but you can also follow me, RJ Ledesma, on Facebook. I've got a private page and a public page, and I also have my website, www.rjledesma.com, and also my Instagram, RJ Ledesma. Please feel free to join me over there. Would love to start a conversation with you. And if any of you around the world are listening and you're figuring out, can you do business in the Philippines? Can you set up a business in the Philippines? Can you offshore or outsource to the Philippines? Please let me know. We'd be glad to help you out through my company. Stay home, stay safe.
Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.